Amen. Well, good morning, church. And your copy of Scripture, go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians. Give me in Philippians chapter 4 this morning, during our time together. And just a word of warning this morning is as we dive into the text and in the remainder of this series, we're going to dive into some deep waters. We're going to dive into some heavy topics and some hairy subjects. We're always family friendly and everything will be appropriate. And bottom line, the things that we're going to talk about today, students and children are already here and outside of here. And so kind of wrestled with how much do I share? And this is a safe place though. And why avoid subjects that the world is talking about when we, the church, need to see what God says about this? And so just want to give you a word of warning with that. And so I'm excited, though, to be here this morning and just to be able to share my heart, share just a little bit what Pastor Dan said. We're going to dive into a series called Inner World. And we all have an inner world. And the reality is that no one talks to you more than you do, right? I talk to myself pretty often. If anyone were to hear my conversations, you may tune me out real quick. And so, but no one talks to you more than you do. And we all have this inner world, and you don't have to have me tell you that the numbers of anxiety, depression, loneliness are staggering. I want to share with you just some numbers, some statistics on anxiety. The National Institute of Mental Health says this, that anxiety is the most common mental health disorder in the U.S., affecting nearly one-third of both adolescents and adults. Anxiety is the most common reason college students seek counseling. And this one, just released, a study from the Adam Kuntz Research Foundation, says that anxiety is the number one topic discussed when grabbing lunch, coffee, or a Sonic drink with Adam. It's real. It's real. I'm serious, though. There's been the conversations I have with students and even adults. I've walked more students through how to use the YouVersion Bible app. And whenever, I don't know if you know this or not, on the YouVersion Bible app, if you're feeling a certain way, you can click on that emotion and it'll give you Bible verses to combat that emotion. And so if you're feeling anxiety, you just click this button, I'm feeling anxious. And then it has this whole list of Bible verses that kind of just give you just what the Word of God says about this and who you really are. And so I've walked more students through Bible study reading plans on anxiety and just what does the Bible have to say about anxiety, depression, and loneliness. But this statistic, though, that I'm about to share is the one that really took me back a step. Students during the 1980s recorded more anxiety than child psychiatric patients did during the 50s. The internet came out in the 90s. So if students in the 80s have more anxiety than psychiatric patients did in the 50s, imagine now we have students and children that now not only have a personal reputation, but now they have a digital one. So now, look, I'm not saying you guys aren't awesome, but students aren't very good at relationships, right? And so they may be making choices based on relationships and not making very good choices, and so they may not be making good personal relationship choices, but now they're not making good digital personal relationship choices. So now they have more reputations to manage than we ever did, and they're charting new waters in a new world that we never had to charter. I can't imagine now what the numbers are. But in the 80s, children had more anxiety than psychiatric patients did in the 50s. You may have heard my story a little bit, or a couple weeks ago, when I had the opportunity to share. I've had my battles with depression and anxiety and worry. It was a couple years ago, and I'm thankful to God that it was short-lived. I surrounded myself with people in a community that knew me before, wanted to see me get better, and they knew that I could get there. And I surrounded myself with a community. But sometimes overcoming anxiety, depression, worry, stress, is not that easy. And thankfully, we have doctors and medication to help treat chemical imbalances in our brains. And some people think that if you're on antidepressants, you need more faith, you need to read more, you need to fast more, you need to pray more. And I hope that those people pray more, read more, fast more when they have a headache, upset stomach, or diarrhea. You know, like, we have medicine that can treat chemical imbalances. And there are some cases where, yeah, we do. We may need to pray more. We may need to read more and fast more. But we have medicine to treat. And so I hope that we're not turned off saying, well, you don't take medicine for you don't take medicine for that. You just need to trust in God more. And I think that's an uninformed conclusion, that we have medicine now, and I'm thankful for that we can treat things. And luckily, at my depression, I didn't need to take medicine for that. But to be honest, my story isn't really that uncommon. There's many of us here that have stories too, and we have family members, and we've walked through it ourselves. We've had dark days, and we have shows that we stream now on Netflix, and you know what show I'm talking about. 13 Reasons Why is a show that most of your students have heard about, and if they haven't heard about it, they've seen it themselves. After the premiere of this show, the search phrase, how to commit suicide, rose 26% above the normal rate. Suicide prevention went up 23%, and the suicide hotline climbed 21% based on data. Thousands more people were searching online about how to kill myself. So why the increase in anxiety? Why are we constantly going up and to the right when it comes to anxiety and depression? Why can't we just have a year where, yeah, there's a plateau, there's a decline, like it's not really that interesting anymore, but we know that's not going to be the case. And so to introduce this series, and I'm sorry that's heavy, and I want to share just my story with you in the days ahead, because there's some of you that think, what do you even have to say about worry and stress? You don't even have kids, Adam. like what is there to worry about? I get it. I've been there, though. I know what you're feeling. And I don't need anyone to even have a show of hands of how many of you are going through depression, how many of you are going through anxiety, because I know the numbers are high. And I know that there's people in this room right here that are in the dark days of anxiousness, loneliness, feeling alone, depression. And so to introduce this series, I'm going to talk a little theologically to us, and so we're all going to turn into theologians today. So I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Are you ready for this? We're gonna dive into some theological terms here. So, but here's the big foundation. This is the foundation of our time together, and the foundation is this: that God is the creator and sustainer. That is the foundation of our time together this morning and in the weeks to come. That God is the creator and sustainer. So what I need us to get this, and I think we're having a little trouble staying awake. So I'm going to point to this side of the room, and you guys are going to say creator, and then I'm going to point to this side, and you guys are going to say sustainer. So God is the
creator
and
sustainer.
Mediocre at best. We can do better. Okay, God is the
creator
and
sustainer.
All right, God is the creator and Haman. Ooh, okay, good. Okay. Just got to throw that one in there. Okay. God is the creator and sustainer. Knowing that, here's what we typically do, though. We know that God is close, personal, near, involved, but we act like or believe that God is distant, uninvolved, and inattentive. So here's what we do. We know in our heads, all right, we know that God is close, personal. So that makes us a theist. Everyone say theist.
Theist.
We're theists. We know in our heads that God is close, personal, involved. He's attentive. He's near. But in our hearts, though, we believe and we act like God is actually distant, near, far away. That makes us deist. Everyone say deist. deist. So there's a disconnect, kind of like what that video was saying. There's a disconnect between my head and my heart. So we know that God is a close personal God, but when we act, we believe that God is actually distant, inattentive, impersonal, and uninvolved. So the result is this, though. The result is that everything we do it ourselves, trusting only in ourselves, which is this. We become anxious and stressed because we feel like God is actually distant, far away, uninvolved, and inattentive. And what we do is we doubt the providence of God. Now, we need to talk about that word because that just sounds churchy, right? The providence of God. We doubt the providence of God. We doubt that God can sustain what he created. The providence of God is that God can sustain everything he creates. All right, now I threw a lot of big words, threw some things at you, so we need to put it all together. God is the creator and sustainer. Now, we know that God is close and personal, but we believe that he's distant and uninvolved. Cue anxiety, stress, worry, doubt. And the result of that is that we question whether or not God can sustain everything he created, just causing our stress. That's why I'm anxious, because I don't believe that God can sustain everything he's created. Me. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6, and if you just jot that reference down in your notes that to revisit this. In Matthew 6, Jesus starts talking about possessions and treasures. And then he goes on to say, consider the lilies. Like, you know how I dress nature? Like, you don't ever see birds going through the drive-thru, right? You don't. Why? Because God can sustain the birds. And what makes you think God won't sustain you? So Jesus says in his sermon, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. I can sustain you. God can sustain everything he's created. The almighty, ever-present power of God, he still upholds the world in his hands. God can sustain everything he's created. So in your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you're not already there. Philippians 4, there's just a few takeaways that we're going to dive into as we're jumping in to the tail end of this letter in chapter 4. It's really no surprise that what we're reading about is Paul starting out this passage with the call to rejoice. Paul's in prison. The more I learn about Paul, I think he'd be a frustrating prisoner to have. Just think about this. Like, they're saying, we're going to torture you. And Paul's like, to live is Christ. Okay, we're going to kill you. To die is gain. We're going to torture you and throw you in prison. Well, send me your guards. I'm going to convert them too. You know, like, there was no bad day. There's no bad news for Paul. And Paul just talks about is thriving in joy. Joy is the anthem of his soul in this letter to the church in Philippi. So in chapter 4, verse 4, Paul starts out and says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is what? Near. He's close. The Lord is near. For Paul, the lack of anxiety is rooted in the conviction that God is near. Let me say that again. The lack of anxiety is rooted in the conviction that the Lord is near. Verse 6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, we need to pause here because there's a very important word in this verse here, and it's that word in. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now, see, when we thank God in all things, not for all things, we're declaring our dependence on God. When we're praying in every situation, we're declaring our dependence on God. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends, it goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so the first point that we want to point out here, and I've already mentioned to it, is that we want to pray in everything. We want to pray in everything. See, whenever we thank God in all things, not for all things, we're declaring our dependence upon God. So, man, I'm wrestling with anxiety, depression, loneliness. I feel the weight of it. We need to pray in everything. Anxiety must be addressed through prayer. Anxiety must be addressed through prayer, not by being more self-aware. Anxiety must be addressed through prayer. The second point, prayer brings peace, not answers. I don't like that one, right? But whenever I'm in the trenches, though, of anxiety, and you've been there too, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever, like, is anxiety not just one of the most paralyzing feelings you've ever gone through? It is so paralyzing. I feel stagnant. I can't do, like, my mind is overwhelmed. My breathing's short. Everything is just off. And I need, in that moment, peace more than I need answers. Prayer brings peace, not answers. Whenever I was going through my battles, there was times, and I'm just going to air out all my dirty laundry here. Whenever I was going through my battles of anxiety, there was days where Abby would leave for school on a Friday, and guess who's off on Friday? This guy. So guess who was by himself all day Friday? This guy. And guess who didn't want to be all by himself on Friday? Me. And so whenever I was actually, I didn't want to be by myself because I knew that the feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness would only be magnified. And I did not even want to be alone. I was scared to be alone. And in those moments, I had bad days, and I also had good days. Something that helped me out was that these are my journals. They're not diaries. These are my journals. And it's manlier that way. But there's just something about being able to write down what's going on in my heart. There's nothing magical about it. And if I were to show you what is in these, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of ugliness inside this notebook. And it helped me process. Helped me just to write out what's going on. This is a $10 notebook that I just got at Walmart, and it's been more therapeutic for me to be able to write down what's going on in my heart and to even look back and see where God has taken me from. Where God has led me. There have been days where I'm just praying to God in this. There's days where I'm yelling at God in this. There are days where there's the emotion in this, and this one's full, so I had to get a new one. And it's like, man, I just want to, in some way, I want to burn these. Because I wanted to say anything that's happened in this book is not who I am now, and I want to get rid of this, but a part of me also wants to keep it to know where God has taken me from. So there were days, like I said, there were bad days, but there were also good days where I just sat and I opened up God's word, and I allowed the scriptures to speak to my heart. And there were days where all I had to read was one verse, and that was what I needed to chew on and meditate on and to feed my soul. And then there were days where I thought God was giving me the silent treatment, but actually it was me giving God the silent treatment. It was a powerful discipline for me to pray with a pen and to write out my thoughts and my feelings. And it wasn't that I was getting answers from God, but God was giving me his peace. I could make it through the day. And that's all I had to do. In those moments, I had to live moment by moment, day by day, to get me through one single 24-hour period. Prayer brings peace, not necessarily answers. The third takeaway is that we need to train our thoughts. Train our thoughts. As a senior in high school, I went to Tokyo, Japan on a mission trip. And if you've ever been to Tokyo, Japan, there's a lot of subways to get around. And so through this mission trip, we did a full day of ministry away from our hostel. And so we were tired, we were worn out, and we were making it back to the subway to get back to the hostel so we could have dinner. And we barely made it on the subway in time. Our whole team, we had to all get on the same time. We barely made it on. We finally sit down in relief. We're just going to check out. We have 30 minutes till we get home. And we wait for the amount of stops because everything's in Asian symbols. We don't know where we're at. We're just kind of winging it here. And so we're sitting on the train. We're breathing heavy just because we've just been sprinting. We wait the number amount of stops we're supposed to wait, and we get off. We're like, this does not look familiar. How in the world did we end up here? Right? Like, where in the world am I? Christine Kane, in her book Unashamed, talks about your thoughts are like a train. And sometimes we jump on the wrong train sometimes, and we find ourselves at a place we don't even know where we're at. And I read this book a couple years ago, and I started to put into practice this discipline that she talks about. When I would see a train of thought that I knew was a lie from the enemy, like, you really are alone. And no one really does care about you. I'd see that lie, that train. I would have to audibly say, and I would do this, I would audibly say, I'm not getting on that train. I'm not getting on that train. I know it's a lie from the enemy, and it's going to take me down a road that I don't want to go on. I'm going to end up in a place I don't want to be in. I'm not getting on that train. We need to train our thoughts. It's not just a morning exercise. It's a moment by moment. Encounter it and be ready to fight, because every day you're facing a battle for your mind. I'm not getting on that train. And I don't know about you, but anxiety, worry, doubt, stress, loneliness have plagued me more than I care to admit with wrong thoughts, right? You been there? But then I'm reminded of God's word to me. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If we don't manage our thoughts will manage us. You know that's true. You know it, because we've been there. We've been there. And the last thing is that we just need to simply remember the promise. Remember the promise that the God of peace, there's not a separate little mini God, oh, this is the God of peace, but the God of peace will be with you. He is near. He's not distant. He's not unattentive. He's not disengaged. He's actually close. He's near. The God of peace will be with you. I want to close our time together with a passage, and it's on the back of your note sheet. It's Habakkuk 3. I want to read this. I want to read it slow. I don't want to miss this. I want us to get the heart of Habakkuk here. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Habakkuk stands firm and even rejoices, not in his circumstances, but in the God who is exalted above all things. God makes the prophet's feet like those of a deer so he can scale any height. On the heights, he can see more clearly how powerful and how loving and how majestic God is who strengthens him. And in the midst of our stress, in the midst of our anxiety, worry, loneliness, we can sing. We can sing that the crops may be dead, the animals, even God's own people, but that does not have the final word. Jesus Christ has the final word. God knows your battle of the mind. He knows what's going on in your inner world. He's not surprised by it. He's not even disgusted by it. Like, I can't even... Jesus doesn't throw up his hands in disgust at it. I can't believe that the people don't trust me. But rather, there's grace for you. There's grace for you. He's not done with you. He's not angry at you for feeling lonely or needy. He's actually saying, I want you to come as you are. And when we do, when we bring our broken, fragmented lives to the cross, he surprises us with hope and with grace that we don't just sit and dwell in our sorrow, but he actually helps us ascend to the heights. I'm thankful for that. The inner world that you've been trying to manage, control, ignore, is squelching the joy and the journey that God has for you. And like Habakkuk, we can tread on the heights. So what's keeping you from ascending to the heights? What's keeping you? What trains have you been jumping on? What lies have you been buying into? I want to offer us a time to worship. And if you just need prayer for peace, if you need peace, we'd love to pray for you. So during this time of worship, you feel welcome to come. You can kneel at this stage. You can have one of us pray over you. We'd love to pray for you. And even just to chat after service. Don't be down. We can ascend to the heights. Let me pray for us. Father, we're grateful that you offer us hope. God, our minds jump on things that we shouldn't be jumping on. We've gone down tracks that have led us to nowhere. And you're not disgusted by us. You're not in love with the future version of us. You're so close. You're not far away. And you can sustain everything you've created. Father, and we're grateful for that. As we worship, help us to proclaim in faith all that you are.